Do you know that the families that attend live Homeschool Made Simple seminars tend to be the folks that stay the course with our methods for the years to come? There's something wonderful about the excitement that's generated by being in a room full of like-minded families, hearing success stories, fathers meeting other fathers, and teens connecting with new friends. It is said that repetition is the mother of learning. If you want to hold fast to these time-proven methods, it's essential to hear this information regularly as your children's needs and ages change. Join us in Franklin, Tennessee on Saturday, August 1st, or in Dallas, Texas on Saturday, August 29th. We have lots of new and exciting information, speakers, and breakout sessions. Register at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars. I can't wait.
You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. This week, we are going back in time to continue my conversation with Hani Go about the truths she remembers to let go of fear and grow in confidence as she homeschools her four children. We talk about quieting outside voices and having perspective to appreciate the gift of homeschooling. Lastly, I really appreciated Hani's personal journey of learning her family's origin and finding stories that connect with her children's own ethnicity. Before we get into the episode, are you ready to jump in and learn more about the Homeschool Made Simple approach? We've bundled our essential teachings together to create the HMS Essentials Bundle. In it, we'll teach you everything you need to know about our approach from the elementary years through high school graduation. This bundle includes four key audio resources, a return to our roots of greatness, a literature-based approach to education, begin with the end in mind, and the homeschooling interview. The HMS Essentials Bundle will help you set a solid foundation for homeschooling simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably in every season of life. And the more than 20 pages of book lists will point you toward the resources that we love most. Use coupon code PODCAST at checkout to receive 15% off your order. Visit our online store, homeschoolmadesimple.net/store, to get the HMS Essentials Bundle today. Now let's get into the episode. So after you went to the seminar earlier this year, you came home and you wrote down a little list of things you wanted to remember and not forget. And you sent the list to me. There were several points that made like comparisons with and kind of revealed that you were comparing your kids with public school kids or other people, you know, taught to pass the test, what others are doing, behind or different from public school kids. So maybe you could speak about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think being at Carol's seminar really helped me see like, oh, I am living in fear that I'm like behind or I'm somehow failing my kids. And, you know, when Carol said, I felt like you know how sometimes you're listening to something and it just feels like all of a sudden it's like the world stops and you're like, that was for me. When she said, like, stop listening to all these influencers who haven't even raised their children yet. You know, that's the hardship of the world we live in with social media and Pinterest and Instagram is like, we have insights into what everyone else is doing, but half of these people are younger than me and have children younger than me. And I'm like, I'm worrying that I'm not, you know, being as creative or whatever. And you know, when JJ said in the seminar, he was like, why are we comparing ourselves to the Joneses? Like the Joneses aren't reading. Like I just read an article. No, that's not true, right? Public school kids, a lot of them are reading, and there are plenty of homeschool parents who are prioritizing reading aloud. And so I don't want to like feel like I'm going bad on public schools, but the public schools are not, their goal is to not enrich kids with great literature and make them love books. Like teachers may love that, but they can't teach like that anymore. I think there's plenty of teachers that wish they could. So yeah, I feel like I was like, I mean, I went off Instagram all summer. I unfollowed a ton of people. I mean, I pretty much just listened to Carol's podcast and I listened to the Read Aloud Revival podcast because I feel like Sarah's philosophy fits pretty well with Carol's. She always makes me feel like I should be doing less, not more. And that's pretty much like the main input that I get besides, you know, reading books. But I don't follow a lot of homeschoolers anymore. I just decided I feel like Carol has a lot of history and a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's, she's graduated a lot of people doing her method that are doing very well and successful. And the research shows, proves that the way she's teaching us to do this works. And I had not read, I still have not read all these books. I have them on my shelf and I'm trying to make my way through them. I've skimmed some of them, but I'm like, yeah, I need to develop my philosophy of education so that when I'm sitting across the table from a friend who's shocked that I'm not doing 5-paragraph persuasive essays with my 7th grader, that I know why I'm not. And I'm like, actually, right, there's a ton of research. I don't even need to tell the other mom. I don't need to make other moms feel bad about what they're doing. But I can just say, oh, it's okay. I know that they're going to be fine. And now, do I doubt that sometimes? Of course. Do I have moments where I'm like, is this kid ever going to be able to like spell and write? I'm not sure. But I'm trusting. One of my children has struggled with some dyslexia and dysgraphia, but he's overcome the reading part. He's reading like Tom Sawyer and Lord of the Rings, and he's a ferocious reader, still struggles with, you know, some of the handwriting and spelling stuff. And so I'm just trusting, based on lots of research and people that have done this for a long time, that he will become a great writer. But he doesn't need to be a great writer right now. There's no one is coming and knocking at my door being like, can I see, you know, writing from this child? No one is doing that. And he has plenty of years before he's going to be in college where we can work on that.
Yeah. And he's probably quite articulate.
Yeah. And so I'm just trusting that so many of these, you know, people who've, like Carol, who've been doing this for years, to just trust the process. And again, do I have moments where I fear? Yes. Do I have moments where I'm like, I'm not sure about this? Yes. That's why I have this letter to myself.
Yeah. And that was my, the third thread I really saw was just the importance of having a fully developed philosophy of education. Mm-hmm. You kind of alluded to it multiple times of just like, better late than early. Read these books, you know, be grounded. Don't be able to just be pushed around just because I hear about what somebody else is doing. And I think that's why, like, going back, having these books on your shelf, the Successful Homeschool Handbook, especially because it's like basically just people's stories and stuff, and they kind of extrapolate points from their stories. But it's such a good pep talk, like to pull that off the bookshelf and then to just read a chapter and be like, yeah, this is going to work. Like, I don't need to worry. Like, I can, you know, even if you don't have a friend doing it, or someone who has graduated kids already, or somebody in the exact same situation, you can read those books and they can be the friend who is encouraging. And also all the episodes that we've done with families who share their testimonies and the kids who have graduated and things, those are so powerful to go back and listen and just hear all the different, getting to rub shoulders with those people has built me up of just like, yeah, this is fine. This is going to work out just fine because all these kids, not just like one off here and there, but dozens and dozens and dozens of children who are flourishing. And like you said, not just fit the mold, but they fit the mold of who God made them to be.
Yeah.
Not just this box that somebody outside decided they need to fit into, but the person that God designed them to be, so that every person in the family is uniquely them and not, oh yeah, they all belong together because they dress exactly alike and they do the same things and they say, talk about the same things and they have the same hobbies and they eat the same food. Like, no, they all go together because they've just lived life together and they have the same philosophy of living and this kind of liturgy and lifestyle, but they're all this full expression of who God made them to be. And I think that's really the beautiful part of it, is that every person gets to be the ballet dancer, the writer, the engineer, the, you know, Rhodes Scholar, I don't know. It's endless what it can be, you know, be missionaries, work overseas, whatever. And it's amazing to hear all the stories. And those are really what inspire me and keep me going too.
Yeah. And what a privilege that we get to partner with God. I mean, it makes me teary thinking about it. I'm like, I get to be a part of this story that my God is writing in my kids' life. And hopefully someday my kids will, you know, my mom read aloud all the time and we had tea together and we lit candles. And I got to have time to paint in the afternoon because I loved it. And I didn't have the pressure of all the homework that, you know, I would have probably had in public school. And so it's a privilege. It really is. Now, sometimes does it feel like a burden? Absolutely. I mean, it does. Let's be honest. Some days I'm like, I have not been alone in a long time. And there's some hard things happening in our life right now that I'm needing to process with the Lord. And so I'm just like having to get creative and be like, okay, God, like I need some space for you to meet with you. And he, you know, God's a creative God. He helps us. He helps us. And so it's just that daily dependence on him.
Yeah.
The next school year is coming quickly. If you are looking to simplify your to-do list and maximize your child's impact, check out Voteberg Music Academy for a holistic approach to music. For less than the price of one private lesson, your whole family can learn either guitar, piano, violin, mandolin, or ukulele from professional musicians that have been performing for decades. Instead of learning in isolation, your musician will be inspired to be a part of a community of other like-minded families performing on a student showcase, participating in quarterly challenges and competing in contests for cash prizes. Instead of trying to pick out songs for themselves on YouTube, the Voteberg Method offers a proven success path that thousands of students have used to earn badges mailed to their doorstep while gaining confidence and proficiency as a musician. Live coaching calls with your instructor will tailor lessons to each of your students' specific needs and goals. If you're looking to bring fun, rewarding music into your home this school year, go to VoteburgMusicAcademy.com. Use our code HOMESCHOOL25 for 25% off your first month. Simplify your curriculum search with music lessons designed for families. Voteburg Music Academy will hold your hand each step of the way. Now let's get back to the show.
You might have heard this before since you've consulted with Carol, but she'll tell me, you're living the dream.
I know.
That's one of her phrases.
Yeah.
And as she's said that to me over and over again, the Lord was like, Psalm 16, the lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. Mm-hmm. And that's really what she's saying, is that I have a great inheritance and that this is a gift that God's given us to steward. And we are living the dream.
We are.
That we get to, you know, and so even though there is hardship, even though there is time of like, when am I going to have this alone time or this time to process or all these things to navigate? But to have her voice in my head to say, you are living the dream.
Yeah.
It just completely puts this frame around it that changes everything. And that I, whenever I hear it, I immediately interpret it to say, the lines have fallen for you in pleasant places.
Totally.
Like, this is really a wonderful thing that we get to do.
It is. And there are people that want to and, you know, financially can't because they both need to work or whatever. And I think, you know, I remember going to Target with all four of my kids, you know, when they were all really little, and people would just be like, wow, you have your hands. They would always say, you have your hands full. And I would say, with really good things. Like, they are, I'm so blessed that I get to be them, because it's like our culture is like, oh my gosh, you are burdened down by all these four kids. And I'm like, no, it is a blessing that I get to be a mom to these four kids. And, you know, again, I have days where I don't always feel that way, but it is, it's a blessing. And I believe we'll see the reward someday of our fruit. You know, Sarah McKenzie from Read All in Your Bible, she always says, like, you can't pull the fruit, the plant that's growing. You know, can't pull it out to see if it's growing. Like, it takes faith. It takes faith in God to trust that what we're doing is working.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You said that your husband's Asian and you're Norwegian. Yes. So maybe what have been some of the specific challenges that you've faced, I guess, as you raise biracial children and are trying to kind of meld those ethnicities together in your
Yeah, home? I guess I have wanted my kids. We live in a pretty diverse area, actually. And so I don't think they necessarily feel the difference. And they're growing up in an age where a lot of kids have biracial parents or whatever, but I have wanted them to understand their cultures. And so we have intentionally, like, I'm Norwegian, and part of my story, even with my husband, was not just feeling like a white person, but really learning my ethnic background. And so we like got a lefse maker so we can make lefse at holidays, and learning about that. And then we did a study like on cultures around the world. And so my husband's Chinese Filipino, actually. And so just trying to find things that incorporate those cultures into the books we read, making sure we have diverse picture books that have, you know, Asian kids featured in them. Mm-hmm. And thankfully there are more and more good books available for that. And so it hasn't been a huge issue, but it's just, I think it's just brought my awareness of wanting to make sure that we have diverse diversity in what we read, and also as we study history. So for example, when we studied, you know, when people, how people came to the United States in American history, it's like, I tried to make sure that, you know, we learned how did Asian Americans come to America and learn about Gold Mountain, and how did they enter, and then how did more European people enter? And, you know, it's challenging at younger ages because you don't want to introduce too hard topics too early. I think that was maybe a mistake that I made because I felt so convicted that I wanted my kids to understand, you know, some of those harder topics. But I think in hindsight, I think I introduced some of them to my older kids too early. And so I'm trying to navigate that with my younger one. That's the beauty of getting to kind of start having this little one that's a little different. You get to kind of learn from your mistakes.
Yes. Yeah. I can think of two friends right now. One is married to a El Salvadorian. And then my other friend is like similar to you, Chinese. They have in-laws who speak other languages. And even if they speak English, there's still this whole world that they want to be sure to not cut their kids off from and really embrace, even though it's different from their background. And I think you make a great point that we're all from somewhere. Yeah. Even if we're in America, we all have roots from somewhere else. You know, I have roots from Ireland and England. But so, yeah, I think that's really interesting to make that point and to really kind of know, you know, some of my husband's relatives, they like know their history, like how many generations back came from England and what their name was and all this kind of stuff. And I think that's really cool that you can, it's not just about one or the other, like being where you're from, but being able to like give your children this robust understanding of like, we come from more than just like our neighborhood.
Yes.
And, you know, the immediate people that you know by name and firsthand, you know, there's a whole train of people that have come before us and we have inherited things from them. I think that's really lovely.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's been definitely a journey, and being in full-time ministry, my husband worked specifically focusing on ethnic minority students for a lot of years. And so that also was a journey of, you know, hearing other people's stories, and then really caused me to wrestle with, you know, what it means to be a white person in America. And it wasn't until I started to understand my own ethnic background that I showed up to the table a little differently. So yeah, I think it's important for us to know where we come from. And there were some very specific, even cultural things. I won't go into the specifics, but there's something called, I don't know how you pronounce it, but Jante Law, which anyone in Scandinavia would know what it is. It's basically a bunch of rules like, I will not be better than anybody. I can't even remember all of them. There's 10 of them, but they're very like, basically don't stand out. Don't think you're better than anyone. And when I read that and studied that, I realized how much that is totally how my family is. And, you know, because my kids are pretty great and we homeschool, like I get complimented all the time on how wonderful my kids are. And I sometimes like, oh, my kids are, you know, then they are sinners just like everybody else. But it's like, I don't want to stand out or don't want people to whatever. And so I've had to kind of wrestle with, oh, yeah, this is actually really impacted me. But I would not have known that if I had not studied kind of my own culture and how that impacts us. And we all have that, even if we don't know it.
Yeah. Wow. That's really fascinating. Well, I feel like we could talk forever.
Yes.
But We will cut it off.
Sounds good.
And save the rest for another time. But I really appreciate you talking with me today.
Yeah, bye. Thanks so much. It's been a lot of fun.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.